Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
These three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Isn't it amazing that in God you can fall down bound and get up free? A lot of times we look at falling down as the mistake, but sometimes when we fall, that's when we get free. Verse 24, that's not even in the notes. That's extra. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, rose up in haste, spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." And King Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt." Somebody say, no hurt. "And the form of the fourth is like," capital S, "the Son of God." The first time Jesus was seen was not in a manger in Bethlehem. The first time Jesus was seen was in the middle of captivity, in the darkest moment of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's life. The Son of God said, "I know I'm not supposed to go until we get to Bethlehem, but there's a couple praisers in the midst of the fire, and I'm going to go ahead and show them." Come on now. Isn't it amazing that God will show up when he's not even supposed to show up? Nobody knows what he looks like, but here a pagan king says, "That looks like the Messiah that is promised, that is not even supposed to be here yet." But their praise is so powerful. Their faith is so strong that it pulled Jesus out of the New Testament. Come on. And he showed up in the Old Testament. And you say, "I can't get Jesus to show up where I am." If three Hebrews could pull a Jesus that hadn't even been born yet and pull him back a couple thousand years, then let me encourage you, you've got the power, you've got the faith to pull Jesus from the past into your future, into your 2020. Somebody say amen. You may be seated. Faith under fire. Last session we talked Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, that King Nebuchadnezzar took captive those from the nation of Israel with seven criteria. He said, "I need them to be the king's seed, no blemish, wise, smart. I need them secularly savvy. I need them teachable." We also talked about that whose you are is what attracts attack. And I know that we've been preaching now for a few sessions on faith under fire, and some of us have been saying, "All right, Pastor, when are we going to get to the furnace? When are we going to get to the fire?" You've got to understand, we need to teach more on what we need to do before the fire than when we get to the fire. And so what we're doing these last sessions and today is we are prepping ourselves because we know that there is a fire coming. See, as a believer, I know that the devil hates me and that God loves me. I know that every day that God's will is in effect in my life, that the promises of God are yes and amen, which means they're available for me today and they're available for me tomorrow. I realize that I'm made in the image of God. God's got a great plan, purpose. I'm anointed for this day. But I also know that there's an old devil that hates me. He wants to see me backslide. He wants to see me bound. He wants to see me depressed. He wants to see me oppressed. He wants to see me addicted. He wants to see my marriage fall apart. He wants to see my kids fall apart. He wants all of that. And so every day of my life, I am prepping for that next fire season of my life so that when I get in the fire, I'm ready for the flames. Some of us get in the fire, and that's when we start prepping for the flames. That is not the time that you train. You train in times of peace. I said it a million times. I'll say it a million more. Pastor John Osteen said, "You put the word of God in you when you don't need it, and guess what? It'll be there when you do need it." It's not the time for you to start thumbing through your concordance and Bible looking for a verse on peace when all hell breaks loose. It shouldn't be the time that you start looking for that, that verse where Peter said that we were healed by the stripes on Jesus' back when you get the bad report. We got to stay prayed up. We got to stay praised up. We got to, why? Because it's not a matter of if the fire comes, but when the fire comes. But when the fire comes for a true believer that has faith under fire, you can put me in the fire and whatever has bound me is coming off of me. Whatever is has tried to be connected to me and put on me, God is going to use the fire to elevate me and deliver me. So whose you are attracts the attack. It's not you. Don't feel special because the devil attacks you. The devil attacks everybody that is on the Lord's side. You say, well, it seems like I'm attacked more now than I was before I was saved. That's because you are attacked more now than before you were saved. When you were closing down the bars and you were the last one out of the club, you were doing bad all by yourself. You didn't need any help. But the moment that you crossed over and said, I am a child of God, I have accepted Christ to sit on the throne of my life, I'm not going to waste my life, but I'm going to use it to do great things. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm going to be the exception to the rule. The moment that you claim Jesus as Lord of your life, the devil said, well, let me put a target on you, and I'm going to come after you with all of hell. But I'm here to tell you, you might have a target from the adversary, but you've got a bigger target on you from God. And God is saying, that's the one that I'm going to anoint. That's the one that I'm going to make sure if he falls down seven times, he gets up seven times. That's the one that I'm going to make sure has enough joy, enough peace, enough power to do what I'm called him to do. The anointing attracts attack. Be careful what you ask for. God, I just wish I had that anointing. Do you? God, I wish I was just more anointed. Do you? Because the more anointing you have on you, the more you are attacked. Realize this, that David was attacked by lions and a bear. But his biggest attacks came when? After he was anointed. After David was anointed, he had to fight a giant named Goliath. Let me tell you what the anointing will do. When you are unanointed, only the bad things come after you. But when you are anointed, that's when the saved folk come after you. Oh, don't get quiet on me now. Because if I remember right, King Saul was throwing spears. Not because of who David was, but because whose David was. God said, David's my next choice. Let me anoint David. Let me get him ready. And so when David shows up to the kingdom, he is not met with a lot of pomp and circumstance. He is met with javelins. He is met with spears. He is met with people that are hating on him. And all of these people are in the family and the nation of Israel. It's not the haters on the outside that it gets you. Sometimes it's the haters on the inside. So when you realize that the anointing attracts the flame, attracts the fire, you're going to prepare yourself. Daniel 1:5, we studied that King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change their appetite. He said, I want you to give them the king's portion. I don't want them eating like they've always ate. I want them to eat like we eat. And this was actually supposed to go on for 3 years. King Nebuchadnezzar knew this, and the devil taps into this and knows that if he can control your appetite, he can control you. That if he can control what we consume, he can control our output and the direction of our lives. Daniel 1:6. Daniel, Shadrach, this is where we left off last session. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were children of Judah. It says it very plainly in verse 6. And for all of my life, almost 40 years, I bypassed that verse on the way to the furnace. I bypassed that verse on the way to the lion's den. And two incredible stories. It makes more sense that God would entrust those difficult moments to who? Praisers. God loves praisers. And God can make sure that if you are a praiser, you can handle anything and anywhere that you end up having to go through. That a praiser can make their bed in hell. That's what David said. And I know that God is still with me. He said, I will not fear the shadow of death. I will not fear the valleys because God is with me. God said, there is no valley deep enough that can stop a praiser. There is no furnace hot enough that can stop a praiser. There are not big enough lions and enough lions that can stop a praiser. The devil did not know what he was doing when he started picking on the praisers.
Nebuchadnezzar would have went after a different tribe if he had known the power of praise. Can I encourage you? No matter what like our nation looks like today, no matter what you face tomorrow, don't ever lose your praise. Don't ever lose the bigness of your God and directing praise and extolling his name and his virtue. I've got big praise for a big God. And I say, furnace, bring on the fire. Because if praise gets me into the fire, then praise will pull me out. Praise gets me in, then praise will pull me out. Daniel chapter 1, verse 7. Some new information. Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave name. To Daniel, he gave the name of Belshazzar. And I shared this last week. Throughout all of the book of Daniel, when we are reading about the three Hebrew children and Daniel, they came in as equals. Daniel's name was turned to Belshazzar, but we never see him referred to as Belshazzar. We always see him referred to as Daniel. And I ask the question, why is Daniel never referred to as Belshazzar in the book of Daniel? Because he wrote the book. And he refused to call himself a slave name. He said, I am a child of God. And what you say about me cannot change the fact that God is my king, that God is Jehovah. Come on, somebody. But I feel it just like a lot of church people today. He didn't have a problem calling Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego Shadrach, Meshach. That's not their names. Their names were Mishael. Their names were Hananiah and Azariah. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change their names. Remember, he tried to change their appetite because he knew if I can change their appetite, I can control them. King Nebuchadnezzar also wanted to change their names because he understood that they will become what I call them, or so he thought. See, the enemy will always call you something different than what God has called you. But what you have to realize is what they say about you does not make you that. Even if you've been delivered from that, it's not who you are. I've always found it amazing, and I believe the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I've always found it amazing that in Hebrews chapter 11, that Paul, after everything that God had did for him, is still calling Rahab a harlot. Come on, Paul. That's the old woman. She's not a prostitute anymore. And here she is, and guess what, Rahab? You're going to be in the hall of faith. Man, that's awesome. Hebrews 11, I'm right there with all the big wigs of faith. Yeah, but just so you know, Paul went ahead and called you Rahab the harlot. Even good people will call you bad things. And it is your choice to either live to the name that they give you or live under the name and up to the name that God has given you. He understood, King Nebuchadnezzar thought he understood that what I call them, they shall become. The enemy calls you by what you were or by what he wants you to be. But God calls you by what he created you to be. I love this. God calls you by your next, not your now. And so when God calls you a name that doesn't make sense to you now, God is showing you behind the curtain of what he's doing in your life. And if God starts calling you something now and it doesn't make sense, that is your next. And God is taking you somewhere. But realize that as God is trying to change your identity to match him and who he's called you to be, the enemy is always going to be there, bringing up a name from your past, telling people what you used to do. Isn't it amazing that we call Thomas Doubting Thomas, and he doubted one time? Don't let somebody identify your forever because of a weak moment here. Doubting Thomas, man, we preach about it. I preach entire sermons, Doubting Thomas, and he's up in heaven in the great cloud of witnesses saying, hey, Pastor Fender, Thomas will do. Don't have to call me Doubting Thomas. We don't call you drug addict Nancy. We don't call you pornography Phil. We don't call you alcoholic Alyssa. We just call you Alyssa, saved by grace. We're not going to identify you from what you used to be. We're going to identify you with what God has created you to be. You say, well, I don't know what God has created. Then just say they are anointed. They are appointed. They are blessed coming in. They are blessed going out. I don't care what you call me. Just call me blessed. I understand. And you've heard us talk about this. I'm not big on titles. the quickest way to get unfriended from me is to change your name on Facebook to Apostle So-and-so. I don't want to know what you call you. I want to know what God calls you. And so when people come up to me and they say, Brandon, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Brandon. I said, it doesn't matter to me what you call me. Just call me blessed. That's all I need you to call me. You don't even have to call me by my name. But here Nebuchadnezzar is saying, I want to change their appetite so I can control them, and I want to change their name so I can change their identity and change their future. But I am so secure, and I believe you are, and some of us need to get so secure in our identity in Jesus Christ that it doesn't matter what the world calls us. That's not who I am. I am who God has orchestrated me to be. There's labels for spirit-filled Christians that are derogatory. You can call me that all you want, because I know when the door shuts and it's me and Jehovah God, that's all I need. I don't need your stamp of approval. I don't need you patting me on the back. And you can call me what you want to call me, but if it doesn't line up, I let it roll off my back and I say, God, say my name once again. Remind me of what you've called me and who you've called me to be. Woo. God calls you by your next. This is why our confession, our declaration, and our decree, and what you say about yourself every day matters. We've talked about what they say. Can we talk about what you say about you? Can I tell you that I think more of what we say is damaging about ourselves than what they say? This week, had somebody call me some terrible names, derogatory things, some of the worst names I've ever been called in my 38 years. And I'm going to tell you what I did in order. Number one thing I did was I laughed. Anytime you're attacked, if you laugh, man, it makes you feel so much better. Every once in a while, I'll say, Mandy, look at what this idiot said. I laughed. Number two, I typed out my response. And for those of you who know me, what was the third thing I did? I deleted the response. It's just an exercise that I like to do. I laugh, I tell them off in my spirit, and then I delete. Then I consider the source. Then I look at the place they're coming from, a place of hurt, bitterness, unforgiveness. Come on now. You ever been there before? And so said some nasty things about me. Laughed. Put my response, deleted, considered the source, considered where they're coming from, and I moved on. Didn't lose one wink of sleep that night. And listen, they talk about me like they know me. They don't know me. So what they say does not hurt me. It does not damage me. But this is, I said that to say this. What I say about me can damage me, because no one knows Brandon as good as Brandon besides God. So when I look in the mirror and I start saying bad things about me, I can no longer laugh it off. I can no longer type out my response and delete, because I'm not even saying words. I'm thinking things. It's in my heart. It's trying to get in my spirit. I cannot consider the source, because I am the source. I cannot consider where that's coming from, because I know where it's coming from. And so we talk about the haters and what they say. Come on, Daniel, it's not about what they say. It's about what you say. Come on, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, it's not what they call you. What do you call you? And see, when I look in the mirror, number one thing I see is a devastatingly handsome individual. And I say, my God, Mandy is a blessed woman. I thank God. I hear people cheering and clapping, but I hear a couple people laughing. Don't make me laugh. Put my response into. When I'm sick, I look at the mirror and say, no sickness shall come upon thee. When I don't have enough money, I don't say I'm broke. I'm saying my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ
Jesus. When somebody attacks me, I don't say, what if they're right? I go to Psalm 23. In the presence of your enemies, I'm going to make a table. When I look and say, you got a lot of reasons to be depressed, I say, oh, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. When I've got a thorn in my side saying, God, that thorn is going to keep me from doing the will of God, I'm reminded, God, if Paul could live with a thorn, I can live with a thorn. And greater is he that is in me than the thorn that is trying to get under my flesh. It's not what they say, it's what do you say. Daniel said Belshazzar. And that sounds like Liza Minnelli's fourth husband, Belshazzar. For those of you under 25, you don't even know who Liza Minnelli is. That's okay. He says, I'm Daniel. But every time he came before the king, Belshazzar. And I don't know if he yelled it, but I believe every time someone called him Belshazzar, when somebody calls you sick, well, when somebody says you're broke, prosper. When somebody says your marriage is on the rocks, strong marriage. It's what I say about me that's going to get me through the fire. Because everybody that is calling you something, everybody that's coming against you, they're not going to be in the fire with you. The only ones that are going to be in the fire with you are the ones that take the same stand that you take. But most importantly, the Son of God is going to show up where you are. I need to help somebody today and tell you to fix your mouth and you'll fix your life. Fix your confession and you'll fix your future. What would happen? What would happen? If for one day, CNN, Fox News would get on and say, it is a great day in the United States of America. What if they would quit running the hate stories and show the stories of the white rednecks and the black young men standing shoulder to shoulder without cropping pictures in Minneapolis, protecting their city and protecting people's stores? What if they would show the young black boy in kindergarten and the young white boy in kindergarten embracing and playing because they don't see color and have not been yet to taught yet to hate? What would happen if we just spoke good things? What would happen if we could take the Twitter account away from President Trump for a couple hours, or him get on there and say, what a great day it is to be alive? What would happen? Guess what? That ain't gonna happen there, but it can happen here. And here is where I live. You know the thing about me? I'm always around me. You know the thing about you? You can never get away from you. Come on, you could go in your man cave to get away from them, but you can't get away from you. And so the biggest alliance in your life, the biggest ally you have is you and the Holy Ghost. And so you need to fix you before you start pointing fingers at everybody else. You need to fix you before you come to me saying, this is what they said about me, Pastor. I'm going to ask you, well, what have you been saying about you? Because if you know who you are, who cares what they say? Who cares about them when you know what God has said? Romans 4:17, as it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations, talking to Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calls those things that are not as though they were. The power to look at a situation that is not right and to speak truth. Come on now, that's tough. Because a lot of times we like to say what we see. But faith sees a mess and still sees miracles. Faith sees trouble but still sees triumph. Faith sees things that don't make sense, but then they say, God, I'm looking at this thing and it doesn't look like what you promised. If it doesn't look like what you promised, let me just fill this thing with a word. Let me fill this thing with some Holy Ghost and change this thing to match your word. Let's look at Daniel real quick. Daniel in Hebrew means God is my judge. That's what he walked in as a judge for God. They said, we want to change your name to Belshazzar. Belshazzar means Bel will protect. Bel was a pagan god. The number one thing
that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to do by changing their name was he wanted to change their affiliation and what God they served. He said, I refuse for you to call me Belshazzar because I'm not a believer in Baal. I'm not a worshiper of Baal. I am a worshiper of Jehovah God. You need to get that straight, because the reason that I am who I am is because I serve the right God. The reason I am blessed, the reason I have future, the reason my faith is strong is not because of Baal. I've never heard of Baal. But one God I can tell you about is Jehovah God. I can tell you how he picked me up when I was a nobody and made me a somebody. I can tell you how when I was depressed, he brought me out of the funk and into his joy. Hananiah means Yahweh is gracious. Simply said, the God of grace. They changed Hananiah to Shadrach. Shadrach means inspired of Aku. Aku was a pagan deity of Babylon. It goes on in Japanese, Aku means evil. So they wanted to change Hananiah from the God of grace to inspired of evil. Hananiah said, that doesn't work for me. Don't put your evil on me. Don't put that nastiness on me. I serve God. Michelle means one who is like, or who is like my God, meaning there is no one like Jehovah. They said, we want to change your name to Meshach. That means belonging to a coup, belonging to evil. Michelle said, that's not going to work for me. I'm not an evil person. I'm a God-fearing person. There's no one like my God. When you say the phrase, there's no one like my God, it means that you have compared him to other gods. I like that. Michelle said, there's no one like my God. I tried drugs, and it did not compare to my God. I tried this false religion, did not compare. Listen to this. I love being a Christian because we're the only religion that our God said he would die and rise from the grave, and he's the only one that died and rose from the grave. In my book, all the other gods are little g, but there is one God. His name is Jesus Christ. And like Michelle, there is no one like my God. I'm not inspired. I'm not living. I'm not bowing to any other God but my God. Azariah means Yahweh has helped me. And they said, we want to call you Abednego, servant of Nego, which was the son of a pagan god named Marduk. Azariah said, that's not going to work for me because I only live my life to please one, and the one I pleased is not Nego. The one I please is not some sun god or some god that you have created in your own minds. There's only one God that I want to please, and that is Jehovah God. Can I encourage you, church, at the end of the day, you can do your best to do right by your family, right by your parents, right by your in-laws, right by society, but at the end of the day, I want to make sure that everything I've done and said that day has brought glory to a God that is pleased with me. Not only do I want when I get to the end of my life for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I would like to hear that a few times here on earth. I would like to, when I lay my head down on my pillow tonight, for God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did well today, Brandon. You could have freaked out. You could have lost your cool. You could have lost your temper. You could have done your own thing, but there you stood as a disciple, as a testimony. I am here to please the audience of one. His name is Jesus. And I promise you, if I please him, I please them. But just because I please them doesn't mean I please him. So when I wake up, I'm not saying, man, I hope I make Mandy happy today. Remember, when she looks at me, she's happy. Too much laughing, not enough amening. Stand on your feet. Don't call me something that I am not. Weak people buy into that. I want to talk to every young minority person in this building today and tell you, number one, I love you because I love you, not because of the color of your skin. I want to tell you that you have value. I want to tell you that you are made in the image of God. I want to tell you that you can do anything that a white little boy can do. I want to tell you, in truth, it might be tougher for you to get it done because of the color of your skin. But I'm here to tell you, I will fight with you for the rest of your life to make sure that you get to where God has called you to be.
Don't let somebody put you in a corner because of your age, your gender, your race. Don't let somebody put you in a corner because of where you were raised socially and what side of the tracks. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on, because God has called you to be the engineer of that train. He's the one that's taking you to your destiny, and I'm not going to let anybody dictate my future by what they call me today. You say, what does this have to do with faith under fire? I've got to know my identity before I step into the flames. Because when it gets hot, come on, you can start saying all kinds of things. But when I know who I am, I love this. I love this. That when we look at when we look at the things of God and we look at what God has called us to, it's so easy for us to buy in to what the enemy says. Because the enemy only says what he sees. The enemy's only regurgitating what he already sees. So when you're bound, the devil calls you bound. And then when God says, no, you're free, God's not saying you're free right this second, although you can be. What he's saying is, I see you as free, so get free. But we automatically buy into what the enemy says because it's what is happening in our life. You're a pornographer. You're an alcoholic. You're a woman beater. You're racist. He says that to you, and you believe him. Because it's what you are in that moment. But when God calls you free, I don't believe that. Why? Because I see what I'm going through. No, God calls you to where you're going, not who you are. God says what he sees you to be created as, not who you are today. I forget who said it, but it doesn't matter who said it, but the devil knows your name but calls you by sin, by your sin. But God knows your sin and calls you by your name. I love that. Doesn't matter who said it, it's truth. The devil will call you by what you've been through and by your sin. God doesn't call you by your sin. He calls you by your name. You've got a name in heaven today. Right where you're standing, lift your hands. My God, I feel you in this room today. I know that the pressures of life are tough. I know, God, that the fires, God, are burning some, in some cases, hotter than they've ever burned before. I know, God, that this is preparation for those of us that will stand, God, in the midst of some difficult scenarios and situations. But, God, the first and foremost group I want to talk to right now is those of you that are not preparing for a fire, but you're in the fire. All hell is broken loose, and it's hotter than it's ever been, and you're wondering where God is, and you're wondering where your help's going to come from, and you're wondering if you heard God right and if the promises of God are still yes and amen. And it seems like everybody else has left. I'm talking to you today to let you know that God, number one, he's right there in the fire with you. There is no flame that is too hot that will make God leave. I want to encourage you right now, if that is you, and I think there's a dozen people that are in real fires today, I want you to leave your seat, and I want you to join us right here in the front of this building.